The Hiding Place by Cross Burgess. Sunday, September 22nd, 1940. To Wolfgang Koenig, Nuremberg, Germany. From Marie Koenig, Stuttgart, Germany. My dear brother, it has been 2 weeks since Sarah and I arrived at the hiding place in Stuttgart. The journey has not been an easy one. We nearly exhausted our food rations in a vain attempt for sustenance during our trek through the woods, which was by no means easy. After the trains that took us nearly halfway, we walked through the woods for many days and nights, often sleeping on the ground, in the woods, or hidden in a field, if we slept at all, that is. When we finally arrived in Stuttgart, we were weary and fatigued from the journey, so we rested for 2 days in the outskirts of the city. When we decided to try and find where the Browns lived, we were almost found out. While searching for the Browns, we asked a Nazi official if he knew where the address for their residence was. The man said he did know of their address, but he also said that he would need to see our identification cards first. I had my identification card, of course, and Sarah possessed the forged one, which was given to her by our dear friend Peter at the church in Hamburg. The official examined the card accustomed to him by myself, and he returned it to me, giving it no second notice. However, when Sarah handed hers over, he first glanced at the card and then began carefully observing and scrutinizing every detail contained by the small piece of paper held in his hand. How quickly and fiercely my heart was beating throughout this, I could not tell you. I was almost entirely certain that this one encounter, this one small conflict that we were being faced with, would end in our demise. After his thorough inspection of the card, he asked Sarah in a gruff, stern voice, "This says you're from Erlangen?" My heart dropped into the pit of my stomach. Yes, sir, she spoke. "That's correct." The fear that was rising inside of me was more immense than any I've ever felt. I felt as if my very heart would shrivel inside my chest. Then, to my shock, his face greatly softened. Then he spoke again, but this time it was much more gentle and somber than the first time. "How is the fish market there?" "My father owns and runs it, but it has been 2 years since I've seen him due to the war, and I want to know if he's okay." I was incredibly relieved, to say the least. Sarah replied, "It's doing well. Like most businesses, the short supply and rations have taken their toll, but the fish market is more prosperous than many others. Thank you for this wonderful news. It brings me great joy to know that my papa is doing well," the man exclaimed. "We were once again in the clear, and I gave thanks to God for protecting us." After he thanked us, he happily gave us directions to the Browns, and he politely escorted us to their address. When we arrived, we were greeted with lots of hugs and tears of joy, and we had a wonderful evening with a delicious dinner. After that night 2 weeks ago, we've been hiding in their cellar, waiting for the first day of fall. The cellar was not ideal for living quarters, but it generally sufficed when it came to necessities. It was cold and damp, but we managed to keep our straw mattresses dry. Sarah and I told stories to avoid boredom, but eventually we became tired of them. We were also given playing cards, but those began to bore us as well. There was not much food given to us, but what we had was very good. Surprisingly, the cellar was quite comfortable. There was a draft that freshened the air in the room. The room was also well lit and quite spacious. The first day of fall is tomorrow, and Sarah and I will spend today saying our goodbyes, thanking the Browns for taking care of us, packing what few things we have left, and making plans for the journey. We will leave for Switzerland tomorrow, 2 hours before dawn. I'm praying that God gives us an easy journey with few conflicts. I'll be home before you know it, brother. Your sister, Marie.